Hello, and welcome back to your GCSE Physics Revision Podcast. I'm really glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most fascinating and most frequently examined topics in the entire radioactivity unit, radioactive half-life. Whether you're sitting the foundation or higher tier paper, this topic will come up. And the great news is that once you truly understand what half-life means, the exam questions become very predictable. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to define half-life with precision, read it from a graph, calculate remaining activity after multiple half-lives, and explain why different isotopes are chosen for medical and industrial uses. We'll also cover the most common mistakes I see candidates make and how you can avoid them. So grab a pen and paper, because this is active revision. Let's get started. Let's start with the definition, because in OCR exams, a precise definition is worth a mark on its own. Half-life is defined as the time taken for the number of radioactive nuclei in a sample, or, equivalently, the activity or count rate, to decrease to half its original value. Let me say that again, because every word matters. The time taken for the activity to fall to half its original value. Now, why does this happen? Radioactive decay is a random process. You cannot predict when any individual nucleus will decay. But, and this is the key insight, when you have a very large number of atoms, the overall pattern is beautifully predictable. On average, in every half-life period, exactly half of the remaining unstable nuclei will decay. This is the statistical nature of radioactivity. Think of it like popcorn in a microwave. You can't predict which individual kernel will pop next, but you know that after a certain time, roughly half of them will have popped. The rate of popping slows down as fewer unpopped kernels remain, just like radioactive decay slows as fewer unstable nuclei remain. This is why the decay curve has that characteristic shape. It starts steep, then gradually flattens. It never actually reaches zero. It approaches zero asymptotically. This is a crucial point that many candidates get wrong. The source does not disappear after a few half-lives. It just gets progressively smaller. Now let's talk about graphs, because OCR loves asking you to determine half-life from a decay curve. The graph has activity, measured in becquerels, on the y-axis, and time on the x-axis. The curve starts high and falls exponentially. Here is the method you must follow, and you must show your construction lines clearly on the graph. This is often required for the method mark. Step 1. Choose a starting y-value on the curve. It's easiest to pick a round number like 600 becquerels. Step 2. Have that value. So 600 becomes 300 becquerels. Step 3. Draw a horizontal dashed line from 300 becquerels across to the curve. Step 4. From that point on the curve, draw a vertical dashed line down to the time axis. Step 5. Read off the time. That time value is your half-life. For confidence, you can repeat this from a different starting point, say from 300 down to 150, and check you get the same time interval. If you do, you've confirmed the half-life correctly. Remember, always use dashed construction lines and label them. Examiners award a method mark for showing this process clearly, even if your final reading is slightly off due to graph reading. The other major calculation skill is working out how much activity remains after a given number of half-lives. The key rule is each half-life, the activity halves. So you multiply by 1/2 for each half-life that passes. Let me walk you through an example. Suppose an isotope has an initial activity of 800 becquerels and a half-life of 3 hours. What is the activity after 12 hours? First, work out how many half-lives have passed. 12 hours divided by 3 hours per half-life equals 4 half-lives. Now write out the halving sequence, and I cannot stress this enough, always write it out explicitly. Start, 800 becquerels. After 1 half-life, 400 becquerels. After 2 half-lives, 200 becquerels. After 3 half-lives, 100 becquerels. After 4 half-lives, 50 becquerels. The answer is 50 becquerels. OCR mark schemes specifically award a mark for showing this iterative halving sequence. If you just write the final answer without the steps, you risk losing a mark even if the answer is correct. Always show you're working. A common mistake here is to divide the total time by 2, so writing 12 divided by 2 equals 6. That gives completely the wrong answer and earns no marks. You must divide the total time by the half-life to find the number of half-lives, then halve the activity that many times. Before we move to applications, there's one more concept that trips up many candidates: background radiation. Background radiation is the low-level radiation that is always present in the environment, coming from sources like cosmic rays, rocks, food, and medical procedures. When you measure the count rate of a radioactive source in a laboratory, your Geiger counter picks up both the source's radiation and the background radiation. This means before you plot a decay curve or calculate a half-life, you must subtract the background count rate from all your readings. If you forget to do this, your decay curve will never approach zero. It will flatten out at the background level. This makes the curve look wrong and will lead to an incorrect half-life reading, particularly at the tail end of the graph. The exam question will often give you the background count rate explicitly. If it does, that's a signal you must subtract it. If you see a background count rate in the question and don't use it, you will lose marks. The final major concept is evaluating why specific isotopes are chosen for particular applications. This is an application question worth the most marks in the assessment objectives. For medical tracers, like technetium-99m used in body scans, the isotope must have a short half-life. Why? Because a short half-life means the patient's radiation dose is minimized. The activity drops quickly after the scan, reducing the risk of radiation damage to healthy tissue. However, the half-life must be long enough for the scan to actually take place, typically a few hours. Technetium-99m has a half-life of about 6 hours, which is ideal. The isotope must also be a gamma emitter, because gamma radiation can pass out of the body and be detected externally. Alpha or beta emitters would be absorbed by body tissue and would not allow external detection. For industrial thickness gauging, like measuring the thickness of metal sheets, you need a longer half-life, perhaps several years, so the source doesn't need to be replaced frequently. For carbon dating of organic remains, carbon-14 is used because its half-life of 5,730 years matches the timescale of archaeological artifacts, long enough to still have measurable activity in ancient samples, but short enough that the decay is detectable. Right. Now let's talk exam technique. These are the mistakes I see most often, and they cost candidates marks every single year. Mistake number one, dividing the total time by 2 to find the half-life. This is the most common error. If a source has an initial activity of 1,000 becquerels and after 20 hours has an activity of 62.5 becquerels, the half-life is not 20 divided by 2 equals 10 hours. You need to work out how many halvings it takes to get from 1,000 to 62.5. That's 1,500, 250, 125, 62.5, 4 halvings, so the half-life is 20 divided by 4, which equals 5 hours. Mistake number 2, forgetting to subtract background radiation. If the question gives you a background count, use it. Subtract it from every reading before you do anything else. Mistake number 3, saying the source runs out or disappears after several half-lives. It doesn't. The activity approaches zero asymptotically. It gets smaller and smaller, but never actually reaches zero. In exam answers, say, the activity decreases and approaches zero rather than the activity reaches zero. Mistake number 4, not drawing construction lines on the graph. Even if your reading is slightly off, you can earn the method mark by showing clear dashed lines from the y-axis to the curve and down to the x-axis. Mistake number 5, confusing activity with the number of nuclei. They are proportional. As the number of unstable nuclei halves, so does the activity. The definition of half-life works for both, and OCR will accept either in a definition question. For command words, if the question says explain, you must give a reason using the word because. If it says describe, you describe what happens. If it says evaluate, you must consider both sides. For example, why a short half-life is good for medical use, but also why it might be a disadvantage in other contexts. Time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then I'll give the answer. Question 1. What is the definition of half-life? The time taken for the activity or number of radioactive nuclei to fall to half its original value. Question 2. An isotope has an initial activity of 1600 becquerels and a half-life of 5 minutes. What is the activity after 20 minutes? 4 half-lives have passed. 1600, 800, 400, 200, 100. The answer is 100 becquerels. Question 3. Why must you subtract background radiation before plotting a decay curve? Because the Geiger counter detects background radiation as well as the source. Failing to subtract it gives an incorrect curve that doesn't approach zero properly. Question 4. Why is technetium-99m suitable for use as a medical tracer? It has a short half-life of about 6 hours, minimizing the patient's radiation dose. It is a gamma emitter, so radiation can pass out of the body for external detection. Question 5. What shape is a radioactive decay curve? An exponential decay curve, steep at first, then flattening and approaching zero asymptotically, never actually reaching zero. Brilliant work, making it to the end. Let's do a lightning summary of everything we've covered today. Half-life is the time for activity, or number of radioactive nuclei, to halve. Radioactive decay is random, but statistically predictable. The decay curve is exponential and never reaches zero. To read half-life from a graph, use dashed construction lines from a Y value, halve it, and read the time difference. Always subtract background radiation before plotting. Show iterative halving steps in calculations, never just divide total time by two. Short half-lives are needed for medical tracers to minimize patient dose. The isotope must match the timescale of its application. Those are your key points. Write them out from memory right now. That's retrieval practice, and it's the most powerful revision technique there is. Thank you so much for listening. Keep revising, keep asking why, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've got this.